listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Praise, my dear ones. Let us disappear into praising. Nothing belongs to us. Amen. When I was a boy growing up, we used to spend some of our summer vacations visiting Grandpa and Grandma in Kansas City, Missouri. I feel like I'm talking about Kansas City every week. I haven't been to Kansas City a lot, but anyway, last week I told a story about a girl from Kansas City. Anyway, one of our favorite things to do there, at least mine, I remember, was to go with my brothers and our cousins to one of the city centers. Mom can clear me up on where that was exactly after the service. We like to go there because there they had the jumping fountains. Have you ever been to the jumping fountains? I think they have something similar downtown Fairfax. That's what made me think of this once again this week. The jumping fountains would put on our swimsuits. Mom would cover us up with sunscreen on the hot Midwest summer days and would all go down to the jumping fountains and would try to catch the water that would go shooting up from one pod to another. The jumping fountains, there's like a little squirt of water that would kind of jump over us and then another one would shoot out and go another way and another one would shoot out and go another way, and this would kind of go on for a little while, and then all of a sudden everything would get still. And then every spigot would shoot up water and everybody would get soaking wet. And then it would drop down again. It was so much fun. It was just this explosion of excitement, children squealing and screaming, all of us getting wet. I just remember so much laughing, holding each other, both in like a fun way because we're afraid we're going to get wet. And also, like, I'm sure I probably helped him out over the jumping fountain so he would get wet and I wouldn't. And then it would shoot up and hit me. Our parents would take pictures of us. I'm sure we've got some pictures somewhere. And it was ultimately just really refreshing. It's hard to talk about it and not smile. I mean, just the memory of it all. It's a different place, a different time. But it all comes flooding back this day as I think about the Holy Trinity. You see, we would try to figure out how the pattern worked with the jumping fountain. Was it going to jump here and then here and then here? And then at some point, we would just... Oh well, we wouldn't figure it out. We couldn't figure out the pattern, how it would all go, and we'd just go and have fun. We'd get splashed and we'd laugh and we'd play in the jumping fountains. I think about all that this day on this Holy Trinity Sunday. First Sunday after Pentecost, it's the beginning of what many call ordinary time, which is not, it's just there's the order of readings that will go through the summer. I like to call it outside time or green season time. It starts today on this Father's Day with this celebration of the Holy Trinity. What can we say of God and the Holy Trinity? It's one of the hardest days to preach, I think. My guess, actually I know this, I talked to some pastors yesterday. Pastors everywhere today are sheepishly and humbly approaching church pulpits. At least they should be. Because whatever you say about the Trinity, you're getting very dangerous to committing heresy. No pastor wants to be committing heresy. But it's easy to do on Holy Trinity Sunday. It might seem a little silly to us now, like who cares? Just say what you want about God. It's a free country, of course, and the Lutheran Church is full of grace, of course. What's the big deal? In recent years, I haven't heard a whole lot of synod assemblies arguing about the nature of Christ. We were just at the synod assembly yesterday. Not a lot of synod assemblies over the years are arguing about God's relationship, God the Son's relationship with God the Father, and how all that works. But it's good to remember today on Holy Trinity Sunday that the early Christians went to the mat on this stuff. There's a story that St. Nicholas actually punched a heretic in the face at one of their the Council of Nicaea. I mean, it got crazy what they would do, arguing about these things, these doctrines and things. So today we argue, we have arguments, people go to the microphones about human sexuality and about biblical interpretation. People go to the microphones, we saw, talking about war and immigration and the rights of women in the church. And these are the things that we debate nowadays at our church assemblies. All of that is nothing compared to the controversies back in the early church about the Holy Trinity, the nature of God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, how all that is connected together. But Athanasius really put the nail in Arius's theological coffin. This is my sentence of the sermon. This is my favorite sentence of the sermon. Athanasius really put the nail in Arius's theological coffin. What are you talking about, Pastor? So, Arius was the one who wanted to say that God the Father was greater than God the Son. People still think like this. God the Father is greater than God the Son, and then there's just this bird flying around, and that's the Holy Trinity. Heresy! Right? By the way, I hate the simple explanations of the Trinity. Like I've heard before, these images like fire, or not fire, but water. You know, the different forms of water. It's liquid, it's gas, it's ice, and that's the whole... Forget that. That's putting God in such a little box, and it's so much bigger than that. I've also heard these explanations like, I'm a father, I'm also a brother, I'm also a husband, but I'm one person. Forget that. It's not that simple. It's much more complicated. We worship one God in Trinity. We can say this. And the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. Does anybody remember the Athanasian Creed? Did you ever do that at Bethlehem? That's that really long creed that was in the green hymnal. You usually do it on Holy Trinity Sunday. Did you guys do that? Oh, did you love it? You want to do it again? No, it didn't even make the hymnal. It didn't make the hymnal for the new hymnal. And I asked the worship people in Chicago why it didn't make the hymnal. And they said, well, you can download it on the internet. It's a really important document. We don't say it every year anymore, but the Athanasian Creed gets into this relationship. The Father is one person, the Son is another person, the Spirit is still another. This is the Athanasian Creed. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, the Son is, and so is the Holy Spirit. Uncreated is the Father. Uncreated is the Son. Uncreated is the Spirit. The Father's infinite. The Son's infinite. Holy Spirit's infinite. Eternal is the Father. Eternal is the Son. Eternal is the Spirit. And yet they are not three eternal beings, but one who is eternal. As there are not three uncreated and unlimited beings, but one who is uncreated and unlimited. Almighty is the Father, Almighty is the Son, Almighty is the Spirit, and yet there are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty. Are you still with me? No. This Trinity is crazy stuff. It's really, you're not going to understand it. And the teaching is that it is a mystery. But it shouldn't just be tossed out. Like, who cares? This is the doctrine that we confess. It is the doctrine to which we cling, which gives us hope and joy, actually. And it is, of course, the basis for a rich theological tradition to which Martin Luther subscribed. And we, many, many years later, still put on this great outfit. I like to talk about the creeds as a great outfit when I talk to confirmation classes. It's like you're putting on a really great outfit, if you will. Outfit of words. The Athanasian Creed is like this really great outfit to think that God the Spirit is equal to God the Father and is equal to God the Son, who we name as Jesus. Just trying to wrap our heads around this with the words of these ancient creeds, we start to actually enter into the mystery and the wonder of our God. That's why I just wanted to give this image of people, three, if you would, dancing around one person in the center with the children. That was an important illustration. That's where we find ourselves here. We enter into the mystery and the wonder of our God. It's all about praise today. God is not someone that we can capture. Saying these old creeds, at first it might seem a little restricting or limiting or too doctrinal, but I'd encourage you to see our creeds, these fabulous outfits, as an entry into a wondrous relationship with God and also with one another. Put them on. It's like putting an outfit on before you go on to the dance floor. So I began with the image of the children playing in the jumping fountain. I tried to put words to an experience that I really can't put words around. I mean, it was really so much fun, and my meager telling of that jumping of faith, I hope you got a sense of the joy of that time in my life. And it's the same way, friends, with our God. We can't really put words around it. We, like children, revel in the majesty of God's splendor, even in this life, not just in the life hereafter. We can't accurately put words on this. We just run and laugh. We hold each other. Sometimes we hurt each other. Sometimes we're soaked with the waters of our baptisms. And sometimes that's shocking and freezing. But mostly, just like those jumping fountains, it is a joy. It is refreshing and renewing. And we keep coming back to those waters to play, whether we're 3 years old or 83 years old. One of the newer hymns in our new red hymnal for Holy Trinity Sunday, and we'll sing it in just a moment, it's called Come Join the Dance of the Trinity. And there is a modern hymn writer who is shifting away from an explanation of the mystery of the Trinity, which really we can't do fully. The creeds give it a good shot, but we really can't explain the mystery of the Trinity. So this author, this songwriter, shifts away from that, not in a heretical way, but rather imagining us people of God as being interwoven with God, caught up in the dance of the Trinity. And I would say, reveling in the jumping fountain of our triune God. Like that fountain in Kansas City many years ago. We can't really figure out the pattern of God. We just can't. So at some point, we just throw our hands up and have fun. We throw our hands up and give thanks. We throw our hands up and enjoy the cool, the refreshing, the love that is all around us. All we can do this day is bask in God's splendor and beauty. All we can do this day is feel God's love drench us and chill us, and all we can do is hold one another as we experience that good feeling. This is the life in the Trinity. We can't ever fully put our finger on it. We can't figure out the pattern or deconstruct it. So we just play and enjoy and try. We are helped this day in that by the other scripture readings that we find this morning, in this poem from Proverbs, in the Psalms, by Paul in his letter to the Romans, and from the Gospel of John. Through our prayers and several hymn writers that we'll experience this morning, through the text of our liturgy and through a sermon, and through the gifts ultimately of bread and wine and this holy community. I don't know if I was going to share this today, but yesterday was our Synod Assembly, and if you had not heard or seen on Facebook, we elected the first female bishop of our Synod. In the history of the Metro DC Synod. And I can't speak for Dave and Sharon Cross, who were our voting members here from Bethlehem, but there was a strange movement of the Spirit in that room as Layla Ortiz was elected our next bishop. I could not really put words around what was happening in that space, but it was this strange movement. I'll tell you that Layla was not my first pick for candidate, but there was this movement that happened in the space as we I wasn't expecting to get emotional either, but we took this final vote, and here we raised up the youngest bishop that the ELCA has ever seen, and also a woman of color. She is Puerto Rican. It was a powerful day, and it kind of didn't make sense that she would be elected. It didn't make sense. I mean, nobody was thinking that would happen. But we have a strong new leader for our Synod, and I'm very excited about that. And at some point, like I'm saying here with this jumping fountain, we throw our hands up and trust God has got us, and we know that God does, and the Spirit moves in these mysterious ways, and we just enjoy the dance. And Layla kind of helped us understand that too. She said, I don't know, you are a very courageous Synod, she said. And she said, I promise you this. It will be a rough ride, but it will be fun, it will be exciting, and it will be Spirit-led. So we're in good hands. It's very exciting, actually. Friends, we're drawn together into the life of our unfathomable, immortal, invisible God, only wise. We revel in this mystery. We dance in the Trinity. We just stand and enjoy it. This movement swirling all around us. We are swept up in that grace. We are soaked and filled with joy as our praises today reach to the rafters and our spirits soar in thanksgiving to our triune God who is alive and moving among us. To our triune God be the glory forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.